what happens at Pentecost was not just for an exclusive or elitist few, not just for men, not just for the Jewish people, not just for society's upper crust, not just for those who spoke a certain language. The Spirit comes and inspires everybody except for a few skeptics in the crowd who accuse them of drinking beer for breakfast at 9 a.m., even though, you know, all the respectable pubs around Jerusalem didn't open till 4 p.m. anyway. A little spiritual imagination for you, of course. The way St. Luke tells it, they were not under the influence of spirits. To the contrary, they were under the influence of the Spirit of God, who gave fresh breath to the stale air of doubt and fear and confusion that really had created a mental cloud around these depressed disciples, you know, after the Jesus movement ended in failure in so many ways. It didn't live up to their expectations. And so we have this moment here in the book of Acts where the Spirit falls on those first followers and new life is imbued and infused in the church. Luke puts it in the boldest terms possible. He uses vivid images of violent wind and tongues of fire to describe the way God was blowing new life into this fledgling community. And Jesus' followers were all in one place when seriously strange things began to happen. It was the most God-awful sound you've ever heard, louder and lovelier than the biggest celebrity birthday party you can imagine. The birthday cake candles came in the form of divided tongues as of fire, the story says, and they drank the finest vintage first century wine God could press together, spiritually speaking. And that's just what God did. God pressed together the oddest, ripest, and most exotic grapes around in the form of people of all kinds, and God made this cast of characters into a fine wine that filled the empty earthen jars of hopelessness with hope, physical poverty with spiritual riches, deepening despair with escalating ecstasy. Yeah. These people are not drunk as you suppose, says the preacher Peter. This doesn't smell like a party. It only sounds like one. This is not about the Spirit. This is about the Spirit, not the spirits. But if you want to, you can still imagine it to be something, say, like a 16-year-old Lagavulin single malt scotch. There is a smoky, peaty personality to this Spirit of God coming in tongues of flame. And that taste of the Holy Spirit's smoky, peaty personality, imagined as tongues of fire, inspires this new community of Jesus followers to rethink what is possible. Spiritual pilgrims from all over the world show up for the Jewish feast day that celebrated the giving of the law to Moses at Mount Sinai, 50 days after Passover. Mesopotamians, Libyans, Egyptians, Romans, everyone in between were able to understand what was being spoken in their own languages. Simple Galileans, who did not have a natural knack for foreign languages, were miraculously speaking in languages the Jewish pilgrims around them could understand. Galileans were not at all known for their linguistic skills, by the way. They were, as preacher Barbara Brown Taylor famously puts it, rural types from northern Israel dressed in the equivalent of first century overalls, all of them going on and on about God's mighty acts like a bunch of PhDs in Middle Eastern languages. Now, this is cutting-edge first century communication technology. Through the Spirit, God creates a broadband church in what had been a dial-up world. The Spirit expands the network that Jesus created. It's interesting how the word expansion or the idea of expansion has been bubbling up in our stories and sermons over the past few weeks. But that first century coming of the Spirit is 21st century innovation. There was a fluency never before known. It was a heady first century combination of AT&T and the Apple iPad and Facebook and Rosetta Stone all rolled into one. The Holy Spirit became the communication gateway that changed everything for the first followers of the way of Jesus. Listen to Luke go on, and this spiritual technology comes complete with voice activation, high-resolution graphics, and a high-speed wireless connection to God that revolutionizes the way people relate to God and related to one another. If you can imagine it, people who felt disconnected from Jesus, how utterly impossible it would be to imagine how they could ever continue on without their leader. They're stuck about what to do next, worried about what life is going to look like after Jesus is not with them in the same way he had been before. And in more ways than one, they're in need of some fresh air to spark their spiritual imaginations. These are the ones who become early adopters of a whole new way of doing spiritual business. Then and now, God's Spirit comes to all people. God lights the fuse that sparks a holy imagination, and the Spirit becomes the muse for a church made up of all sorts of people. God romances the first followers through the Spirit by taking breath from Jesus' body and breathing life into a new body that St. Paul calls the body of Christ. The Spirit becomes the energy source that through a gush of wind and a rush of fire reincarnates Jesus' body as the body of Christ for all people in all places. My friends, today we need this now more than ever, because today I cannot think of the fire of Pentecost without thinking of the fires in Minneapolis. Protests and riots in the streets for justice to be done, where a police officer put his knee on George Floyd's neck until he was dead. George Floyd, who kept repeating in his dying comments, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe." On this weekend, when we celebrate the Holy Spirit coming to breathe on the first followers of Jesus to set off a spiritual revolution, we are hearing, "I can't breathe. I can't breathe," as a black witness to the suffocating reality of white privilege and white supremacy. My colleague Cody Sanders, pastor of Old Cambridge Baptist Church in Cambridge, Mass., wrote this week, "We are asphyxiating the body of Christ. We are doing so by the violence and violation that has become our way of life, a way that we've accepted as axiomatic and quotidian. We expect, even as we dread, news of another murder of a George Floyd or Breonna Taylor or Ahmaud Arbery to come across our screens any day. And among the myriad feelings we have when it happens, surprise isn't one of them. We can't breathe. We're suffocating in our systemic legacy of white supremacy, and we're killing our black siblings in the process. What is old is new, what is ancient is new. The story of the book of Acts is as fresh and alive as ever before. Those 120 people or so gathered in the house breathed in what God breathed out. And when the preacher Peter stands up to speak, what rolls off his lips is an old prophecy from the Hebrew prophet Joel, who dreamt of a day when God's Spirit would be poured out on all flesh, young and old, male and female, slave and free. In other words, the Spirit is for everybody, who empowers the church to be for everybody too. It's a way of saying all lives matter. Yes? And my God, we need the Spirit to breathe life into those places where we are complacent and apathetic, and in those places where we just too often don't give a damn. When millions of Black Americans feel the knee of white privilege and white supremacy on their own necks. Eugene Downing, Reverend Eugene Downing at New Hope Baptist Church in Denver, who's a colleague in our American Baptist Church region of the Rocky Mountains, this past week he reminded all of us of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's words at Stanford University in 1967. This is King. "America has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than they are about justice and equality and humanity." And so, in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantees of riot prevention. Someone has said, "What good does it do? What justice does it bring to riot and tear up your own communities with what's going on, say, in Minneapolis and other cities around the country?" But the reality is, what happened this week of a police officer putting his knee on the neck of a Black man, and we get all up in arms about Colin Kaepernick taking a knee during the national anthem? Come on. We need Pentecostalism 2.0 today, as Brian McLaren puts it. We need an infusion of God's Spirit that breathes life into all humanity, where fire is about passion and empowerment of all people, not more hate and violence and brutality. What can the Holy Spirit do? Not just in a church service, not just for the church that we've come to be comfortable about, but in our whole lives. What would happen if we all found our professional work to be spiritual work, or our retirement work to be spiritual work, letting our own hearts and lives and minds to be transformed by the Spirit? That, again, Christians like you and me don't have an intellectual copyright on God's wild, wild Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a private spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an institutional religious spirit. We are being invited into a vitality and aliveness connected to God, and yes, connected to all creation and all people everywhere, bound together in our one humanity. It has to be a spirituality worthy of all humanity. That's why we have talked on and on the last 3 years about the fully human Jesus. The glory of God is a human being fully alive, a human being that ought to be able to breathe out of their passion and who they are, just because they're a human being. I want you today to hear about a starting point that might help us all. Here's Brian McLaren talking about the Holy Spirit and the subject of seeking aliveness. I want you to watch this video for a few minutes, and I will come back and conclude today's message.
The Christian community, especially here in America, but to some degree we've imported this all around the world, we've tended to divide into two groups. Conservatives have tended to emphasize the personal dimensions of faith, and liberals have tended to emphasize the ethical and public and social dimension of faith. The results have not been good. When you have people who emphasize a public and ethical social vision of faith, but it isn't supported by a deep spiritual vitality, it can degenerate into kind of an ideology, sometimes into an institutionalism. Sometimes it doesn't sound that different than a political party and ideology. On the other hand, when people try to create a personal spirituality that doesn't address the realities of God's world that God loves so much, that's going to be a deformed and distorted spirituality. It's going to end up very often becoming a kind of tribal religion that exists for the benefits of one group over others, or even of certain kinds of powerful pastors and leaders who make a profit over the people that they service spiritually. That's why I think as we move forward, we need what I sometimes like to call Pentecostalism 2.0. If the Pentecostalism of the last 100 years was about rediscovering the experience of the Holy Spirit, especially what the Holy Spirit can do at the end of long meetings with a lot of loud preaching and motivational music, I'd like to discover in the next 100 years what the Holy Spirit can do, not just in a church service, but in our whole lives. And not just relating to religious things, but what would happen if school teachers said, I want to teach my students math and geography and history with the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through me, with the energy and joy of the Spirit working through me. What would happen if doctors saw their medical work as spiritual work? What would happen if engineers said, you know, I really shouldn't be involved in that building project because that's building something that's actually harmful for God's creatures and God's world and some of God's people? What would happen if we saw that the personal dimensions of being connected to the Spirit internally, letting our own hearts and lives and minds be filled and transformed by the Spirit, that's the preparation to make activists who go into the world and make a difference in relation to poverty and human conflict and environmental destruction and an unsustainable economy? What would happen if we could combine the passion of personal, vibrant spirituality with a responsible and wise and engaged faith lived out in public life? So to me, one of the great opportunities and challenges as we move forward is to discover that the Holy Spirit is not a private spirit and is not a religious spirit, but is the Spirit that fills and flows through and is manifested in all creation, in the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, that the Spirit of the Creator that shows in all of creation is inviting us into this beautiful vitality and aliveness in the Spirit. New life in God's Spirit, being connected to God and connected to all of God's creation. Oh my goodness, it's a beautiful vision. And it's what I think more and more of us are seeking as we walk the road of faith.
I think that is a very powerful question to keep on asking ourselves. What does it mean to be alive in the Spirit of God? What does it mean to be alive in the Spirit of God? At least one response to that is it means working for a world where all people can breathe the power and joy and justice and beauty manifested for all people in all places. New life in God's Spirit is new life in a spirituality that honors all humanity in the beauty and the Spirit and the justice of Christ. I close with these words again from my fellow colleagues, first from Cody Sanders again. He says, at Pentecost, the Spirit's fire sets off what theologian Willie Jennings describes as a prodding a prodding toward boundary crossing and border transgressing that is the hallmark of the Spirit's movement, leading disciples to go to those whom they would, in fact, strongly prefer never to share space or a meal, and definitely not life together, and sets off nothing short of a revolution. And finally, from my colleague Timothy Peoples, pastor in North Carolina, who, filled with the Spirit, you might say, stood up to address the crowd through his article at Baptist News Global this week, writes this: "It takes another Pentecost to happen for each and all of us to yield to the redemptive power of the Spirit and to use our tongues to call out for justice. Most especially, you and me, white people. Most especially, you and me, white Christians." Reverend Peoples goes on and writes, "Most of the time the scripture readings for Pentecost Sunday and before we get to Peter calling out the people and their systems for crucifying Jesus and the listener's response later on in Acts, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' And Peter exclaimed, 'Repent. Repent. And so let our fire be a passion for justice. Let our fire be a passion for equality, because all lives matter. And just listen to everybody who the Spirit was glad to be poured out. We need today, May 31, 2020, now more than ever, we need God to breathe new life into all of us so that all lives can breathe. Yes, so that black bodies can breathe free. George Floyd is telling us, 'I can't breathe.' I think we white Christians and people who are supposed to be followers of the fully human Christ need to confess that we are suffocating God's Spirit by protecting and defending the status quo and electing people who do it, more concerned with what makes us comfortable rather than what makes us courageous, that gives us some guts to stand up and say, 'This is not right.' More committed to protecting what we know, even when it means suffocating the wild, wild Spirit of God. The spontaneity of God's Spirit liberates us from any illusion we need to calculate and control all things. And my God, to major in the minors, the Spirit reminds us afresh that the best stuff happens when preparation meets inspiration. In this way, God's Spirit gives a certain it factor to the work of the church. We ought to be distinct and different. We ought to be transformers of the world God loves, so that God's Spirit can breathe into all humanity, so that all humanity can breathe. Just as wine has to breathe to reach its ideal flavor potential, if the church is going to add any zest and flavor and imagination to this world, the Spirit needs room to breathe on us and in us and through us in ways that upend status quo, that gives us some courage and guts over familiarity and comforts. Imagine it this way through a poem called Fire by Judy Brown. It goes like this: what makes a fire burn is space between the logs. Too much of a good thing, too many logs packed in too tight, can douse the flames almost as surely as a pail of water would. So building fires requires attention to the spaces in between, We only need to lay a log lightly from time to time. A fire grows simply because the space is there, with openings in which the flame that knows just how it wants to burn can find its way. My friends, it's Pentecost, and it ought to be Pentecost 2.0 or Pentecost 20.0. And anything can happen as long as we are open to the wild, wild Spirit of God. And so let us today imagine on and on and on about who we can still yet be. Personally, yes, but who we can still yet be together as a community. Let us celebrate the creative sparks that God has helped us fan into full-blown flames of justice and beauty and equality for all humanity. And let us pay attention to the new directions, the fresh directions, the fresh winds of God's Spirit to discover together how God's holy fire wants to find its way until we can all say, I can breathe. We can breathe. We can breathe again. Amen. As you go out into this day, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God grant you the grace never to sell yourself short, the grace to risk something big for something good, the grace to know that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. And so may God take your minds and think through them. May God take your lips and speak through them, and may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.